you asked how long has the director of ceremonies been in position. As far as I know, it was started with Sir Ubrie Roberts, and Larry McKenzie brought him in. Mm-hmm. But before that, various professors undertook this job. I know back in one of the UBCs about 1939, it says that Professor Todd of Classics was responsible for organizing the graduation in the fall. Mm-hmm. So I guess they had professors doing it.
And visiting dignitaries would come and visit the president, and nothing, that wouldn't have to be organized then by the director of ceremonies. It was just president and his staff.
I imagine so, yes. Yeah. Yes.
And what about all the sod turnings and the building openings? And
I don't know what they did in the days, in those days, before the director had his position. But Malcolm was a great guy, and he had great ideas about ceremony. To him, ceremony's office was the university on parade, mm-hmm. and things had to be done right. And there are lots of things that you perhaps that don't come to mind that ceremonies gets involved in. The major event, of course, is the graduation, which started out modestly, but recently it has 6 different graduations in May, and now they're having a fall congregation in September, and then another one in November, because there's so many honorary degrees this year. Remembrance Day service is also organized by the ceremonies office. Openings of buildings are arranged. Visiting dignitaries are visits of the people from the government or the Queen, Prince Charles. Mm-hmm. While I was there, the Queen was here, and Prince Charles. And it's quite a big operation to mount that. Mind you, a lot of the details are taken care of by the people of the royal family who are involved, or the RCMP.
Well, don't they send in sort of an advance contingent to plan it with you?
Oh yes, they do. Yeah. They send out people who talk about what's going to happen, what is on and what isn't on, and what the Queen would like to drink, tea, or what, how she'd mm-hmm. like her tea. Mm-hmm. And then there are people associated with the royal family that come with the visit. But the royal visits have been fairly numerous over the years. Or some royalty, for example, Princess Margaret got an honorary degree. Mm-hmm. Duke of Edinburgh was here by himself once. But there are other little touches. When Malcolm was in the office and when I was in the office, if some big shot from Southeast Asia came and paid a visit to the president, we'd find out when they're going to arrive. I would have to go down and meet him and escort him into the president's office. I don't know whether they still do that or not. Mm-hmm. But I was just talking with Joan King today, who is the executive assistant in ceremonies now, and she says the number of things is really mushroomed. She said in the next few weeks there's at least one function, sometimes 2 functions a week, of some sort going on. Wow. That the ceremonies office is responsible for organizing. But it's a lot. It's interesting and it's fun. And if you like meeting people and mm-hmm. and conning people into doing things, it was an interesting job. Yeah. I'm sure Sir Ubrie would have gone on until he died. Mm-hmm. And Malcolm probably would have loved to have continued in that because he was a natural for it.
Where is he now?
Malcolm died last year.
Oh, he did. Mm-hmm. Well, what did he do after he was in ceremonies? Did he stay on at UBC?
No, after that, he, well, even when he retired from teaching, he was invited by Langara, Vancouver Community College,
mm-hmm.
to teach a course over there.
Mm-hmm.
And he set up a classical studies program yeah. over there. He was quite instrumental. In fact, he was there so long, I think he got tenure. No, he was there until his health failed, and
yeah.
yes, I think it was it. Yeah, I guess it was last year then that he mm-hmm. died. Mm. I should know because I was there very frequently when he was ill.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Well, lastly, to do with university, I wondered if you could tell me about any of the committees you were on. I know you were a member of Senate from 69 to 72 and then from 1975 to 78, and you were on the Budget Committee and Academic Appeals and Teaching Evaluation. Were there any of those committees that dealt with matters that had a subsequent important consequence to the university? Or anything you think would be of interest about any of those committees?
I have to think back and dig these out. Now I have lots of papers, and I did look at some of them this morning. As I mentioned before, one of our major preoccupations was with the faculty participation in university government.
Mm-hmm.
And the two reports which came forward, one from our committee set up by John MacDonald, the president, and the other one by the Faculty Association.
Yes.
And as a result of that, but it was not just these reports, this was just the reflection of what was happening at this particular university. It happened all across Canada mm-hmm. to varying degrees. But after those committees met, things were never the same again. The format, the composition, the way Senate was run was changed. The Board of Governors was changed. They had two members of faculty on the Board of Governors,
mm-hmm.
which was a no-no before that time. Now, we didn't particularly recommend that because we had doubts about whether faculty
mm-hmm.
should be part of the bosses, so to speak. I mean,
mm-hmm.
how can you be? It's sort of a conflict of interest, but it's worked out very well.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole structure of how things are done, the tenure of deans, which is 6-year period now,
mm-hmm.
used to be forever, these all came out of these discussions of the faculty participation. Now, what were the other committees you met?
Teaching Evaluation.
Oh, on Senate, yes.
Yeah.
Senate was, to me, a load. I figured it took about a third of my time.
Mm-hmm.
It was quite, I found it onerous, and I was not unhappy to leave Senate. Not because I didn't enjoy doing what sort of things were done on Senate and the time that one put in. But it really did take a lot of time because there seemed to be innumerable committees of Senate. The last one which I was on was the committee having to do with teaching evaluation. And this, what dates were, was this about the early 70s, wasn't it?
I think that was in the early 70s.
Oh,
I don't have the date.
Or would it be later,
that one.
Later than that?
You were on Senate from 69 to 72 and then 75 to 78.
Yeah. No, it would be in the years 76, 77, 78,
yeah.
I think. The question was, to what extent should students be able to say what they think about, mm-hmm. about the faculty members? Mm-hmm. Now, there were a number of somewhat semi-formal publications which came out. They had the Black and Blue in Science, for example, in which the Undergraduate Society in Science assembled information about the faculty members, and they mm-hmm. put it out, and students could read it and decide which classes they thought they would like to go to.
Mm-hmm.
But it came up formally in the university, and the question was, should everyone be evaluated by the students in some form? Should you give out some sort of form, or should they be evaluated by their peers who go around mm-hmm. and visit the classroom? Bit of a reluctance on the part of many faculty to mm-hmm. be involved, to have that done. In fact, I know of a good many people who absolutely refuse to do it. But that to me was a difficult committee. I was invited to be on that committee, and I agreed. But nobody really wanted to be on that. It did seem to me that the people who were on the committee didn't really want to put their heart and soul into that particular committee.
Mm-hmm.
It was touchy. And, you were sort of damned if you did and damned if you didn't, whatever came out of that committee. So guess who ended up being chairman of that committee? Because sort of nobody else would. Anyway, we made rather sensible recommendations, I guess, and mm-hmm. as a result, there is a formality that, or a formal requirement, but not always followed, that there must be some sort of faculty or teaching evaluation.
Mm-hmm. And that was the result of that committee. So those little forms you get at the end of the year evaluating professors resulted from that committee's recommendations.
Well, a lot of it had been done before.
Yeah.
The engineers had been doing it for years.
Yeah.
And we didn't mind that.
Mm-hmm.
Got all kinds of funny remarks from the engineers. They had their own form, which is fairly straightforward for the students to fill out.
Mm-hmm.
They were very practical about it. They said, you know, you get these guys from mathematics, and that where they're not really engineers. We want to tell you what we think about them.
Yeah,
so. But they're interesting, especially for the remarks that they make about the good guys.
Mm-hmm.
And there are an awful lot of good teachers. There are a lot of very good teachers.
Yeah. You must know. I mean, you must know as when you're in charge of a department, you know your faculty, and you must know who are the good teachers and who are not. I mean, over the years, it must come out, I would imagine, or maybe...
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm very sensitive to it myself, so I have a pretty good idea.
Yeah.
And besides which, being head of the department, you do get access to all of these forms which are filled out by the students.
Mm-hmm.
And, in fact, for promotions, you get recommendations from other professors who might happen to sit in on them.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember what other committees I was involved in. I guess at one time I was probably on the curriculum committee, which was an enormously busy committee
mm-hmm.
because whatever faculty do, they always want to generate new curriculum, and there's an awful lot of it. All goes through Senate before it's
mm-hmm.
approved. It has to be approved by Senate. Any changes in the curriculum, any new courses. I hope I'm not getting too low in my voice.
I guess the last question I wanted to ask you, there are two more, but one of them was I wondered what you've been doing since you've retired from UBC, and you mentioned that you teach at Langara. And do you teach a couple of courses, or what do you teach, and what else are you doing? I'm sure you're involved in other activities.
Yes. One thing that occurs to me with committees, I'd just like to say this, that one of the great things about being on committees is the people you meet. at one time, I think I knew every professor in the university, or almost every professor in the university. Now, you can't do that in the last 20 years, but before mm-hmm. that. But the friendship one makes by being on committees. I got to know quite a few people in the history department whom I did not know mm-hmm. because I was on a dean's committee to review the history department. And it was a very interesting experience. We had a very good committee chaired by Cole Harris
in geography. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely superb chairman. And you met the people, and you had a chance not only to hear what they felt about the department, what the department was doing that was right and wrong, but also to chat informally with them. It was very interesting. Now, what have I been doing since I retired? I've been very involved with the revision of the curriculum of the schools in the province. I'll throw you a curve on that one.
Yeah, having three children in the system, I'm very interested.
Well, it goes back historically. The mathematics curriculum was revised in 1978, I believe. That was the last revision. The newest one is just coming out now. Grade 12 mm-hmm. goes in this year, in the fall. And the one before that, in the 60s, was soon after Sputnik, and there was excitement about mathematics, all kinds of special remedial courses of mathematics. The new math came in,
mm-hmm.
So-called mm-hmm. new math, and the idea that you try to get the kids to understand rather than do, or in addition to do. And a number of Ralph James of our department and Steve Jennings were integral members of that department. And I think they came up with a pretty good curriculum. No curriculum is perfect because there are too many constraints. It's the teachers who have to teach it, it's the students who have to suffer through it, it's the logistics of what you can provide and what kind of resource materials are available. But it was pretty good, but there was a reaction from the teachers. And in the next revision in 1978, Betty Kennedy served on from the University of Victoria, and she was the only post-secondary one, I think, that was on that. And there was a feeling when the curriculum came out that they had watered it down so much, they picked lousy texts. I exaggerate a bit. But anyway, there was quite a response from the universities that the students were, especially after a year or so, that they were not being prepared as well as they had before. And at that time, I guess Pat McGeer was the Minister of Education. Anyway, I'd known Pat for a long time, and actually we'd been fairly close friends for years. And when I became head of the math department in 78. And he said he wanted to do something about it. He says, you can't go backwards, you know, you've got to have a better program, not one that it isn't as strong as the one that went before.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Minister of Education set up a committee, which is called the Big Mac Committee, Math Advisory Committee.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on that for 5 years. And then at the end of that time, it was time for a new revision of the curriculum. And that MAC committee had made a number of recommendations, not just strengthening some of the aspects of mathematics, but the role of statistics, for example. You're seeing things in the paper all the time. Shouldn't mm-hmm. the kids be able to decide for themselves whether a claim is reasonable or whether it's just wacky or whether somebody's trying to fool them? I became a member of that, of one of the committees. It was set up in a very interesting way. We had one for elementary, which had about a dozen people on it, one for secondary, which again had 10 or 12 people, and then there was coordinating committee, which had about 7 or 8 of us on it. And I was on the coordinating committee. And we were not the hands-on trying to decide what sort of things should go into the into the curriculum, but overseeing the thing and suggesting what the topic should be and how far they should go. In the end, of course, you can't avoid getting your hands dirty in it, yeah. And you're involved. And I've been on that right up until this February, I guess, or even later than that.
Mm-hmm. Feeling positive about...
I have mixed feelings about it, because at one stage I thought it was going to be great. Then they insisted on sending it out to all of the teachers, the field, they call it, to get their mm-hmm. response to what the new curriculum would be like. And it went not only to teachers, but it also went to supervisors and people in universities. And people in the universities tended to say that there was too much watering down, and the teachers said, we just can't manage that with the kids. We can go through it, but they won't learn it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't expect us to go that fast with the kids that we have and with their attitudes to study. And so, as a result, about 20% of it was cut out,
mm-hmm.
and I got very angry at the way things went after that. My kind disposition wasn't always kindly. But I think it's better than it was before. And there's lots of scope. The texts that have been chosen, there is scope for teachers to do things. It depends so much on the teacher. We have a lot of good teachers, and a lot of in the Vancouver area.
Mm-hmm.
And they really do wonders with the kids. But a lot of the teachers who teach math don't know any math. I mean, there are very few teachers of math that are being produced. They would rather study philosophy and then go into the classroom and teach math, because it's easier to teach than something else, because you have a book and all you have to do is keep a page ahead of the students.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the big problems, is the teachers who are doing mathematics who are not necessarily good at mathematics. So I have mixed feelings about how worthwhile my contribution has been to all of this exercise. But that's been one of the areas.
Mm-hmm.
We also have, which Ralph James started when the colleges started up, what we call the BC Committee on Undergraduate Programs in Mathematics, BCCUPM, big handle. But it's a forum where people meet from all the colleges and the universities, and
mm-hmm.
they discuss mutual problems. It's an articulation group which irons out difficulties about getting credit going from one university to a college, or going from a college to another college. So, and it's worked well over the years. That group has always been leery about having somebody from UBC in the chair, because they thought UBC was too authoritarian, I guess. However, when I retired, they invited me to be the chairman, so I've been chairman of that since I retired. I've now just relinquished that. But it was interesting, it was fun. I didn't have any extra, they figured I didn't have any extra grind, because I was teaching at Langara, and I had taught at UBC,
mm-hmm.
and I knew most of the people in the colleges one way or another. So that's another. But in teaching, I was invited by Vancouver Community College to go, the same way that Malcolm was, and several other people were invited to go and give a course or give two.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, as long as I'm not interfering with somebody who is young and ambitious getting a job.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't work that way, because they don't know exactly how many courses they're going to be able to field each year, and you can't hire somebody just to do one course or to do two courses. So through the years I've done one or two courses at Langara most years.
Mm-hmm.
Not always, but sometimes
mm-hmm.
when they ask me to.
Mm-hmm.
Very enjoyable. Always have fun over there.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's getting pretty competitive over there too, isn't it, for the students? I mean, it's not, you don't.
It is because, you know, and this year they've cut back. They're not going to have as many students, and they're going to try to make it a better environment in which to learn.
Mm-hmm.
It's become very crowded over there.
Mm-hmm.
They did have a $4 million expansion, but it really didn't do an awful lot for the classrooms and in the hallways, you know, but say between 10 and 12 in the morning, or between 2 and 3 in the afternoon. It's just wall-to-wall people.
Mm-hmm.
It was built for 3,700, and they have a roughly 6,500 students. And the corresponding number of staff members, the faculty members, they're all crowded into offices.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Sometimes I've been three in an office, which is less than half as big as this room, mm-hmm. with no windows. But I still enjoy doing it.
Yeah.
And I have taught at UBC until I got fired out there, if you want to hear that story.
Of course. How did you get fired?
I haven't discussed this with David Strangway, so maybe it shouldn't get to him before I talk to him. After I retired, I taught a couple of courses in the summer, and then I taught a course in the fall and a course in the spring at UBC,
mm-hmm.
and similar courses at Langara. So I was teaching there and I was teaching over here. They asked me to do these courses, and I get paid by just as a journeyman,
mm-hmm.
you know, to do the course. And I found it very enjoyable, and I did have several courses at UBC through the years, and I've taught summer school. They've asked me to if I'd be interested, and sometimes I've said yes. Sometimes I preferred to do other things. But I did a summer school course just 2 years ago. Well, towards the late fall in 1988, I was talking with the head of the department, David Boyd, at that time, and he asked me if I would do a course in first year calculus for the social sciences, which is one of my favorite courses. And a course which came in when I was the chairman of the department. And I said, yeah, that would be fine. They've asked me to do a couple of courses at Langara, but I think I'd like to do this one here and do one at Langara. So we worked that out. And that was about near the end of November. Well, just before Christmas, Dave called me and he said, I says, I'm sorry. He says, we're furious. You got fired, but he didn't say you got fired, but he said it did not pass the president's office. The dean said it was okay, and the department said it was okay, and so it went.
Hmm.
And
no reasons?
Oh, the reasons are there, all right.
Mm-hmm.
It's not because of, I don't think it's because of me, at least I hope it's not because of me. But the fact of the matter is there were a number of people who were fighting the university about compulsory retirement.
Yeah.
And the university lost the case to the appeal court, in the appeal court of BC, against these Cam Harrison and Bill Nichols and so on. And there is on the books a policy statement that about taking people back to work after they retire. And it says that, you know, it gives certain conditions for how they're taken on and to what extent they can work. But they can't go on beyond 2 years after retirement.
Mm-hmm.
Now, nobody had paid very much attention to that. I know when I was in the math department, I was always happy to get a good person to keep on going, and some of them went to 70 or even more.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't be professors. They'd relinquish their official position, but they would be taken on to do courses. But the advice from, I suppose, legal advice to the university was, mm-hmm. follow that policy and fire this guy, because it was, by then, I was more than six, I was more than 67, so
yeah.
So they said, no, you can't do it. And the department appealed, and I think the dean appealed, but they were
mm-hmm.
adamant, because
mm-hmm.
it was about at the stage where it was going to the Supreme Court of Canada,
mm-hmm.
and it still hasn't been,
no.
the judgment hasn't been rendered yet. But anyway, that's how I got hired and fired in a period of 2 weeks.
I have one last question, and that is, I want to know whether you're still playing the organ at St. Anselm's Church.
Yes, I do.
You still do?
Yes.
That's wonderful.
Yes.
Every Sunday?
Most every Sunday, yeah. Except,
mm-hmm.
except when Jim Kennedy does it when I'm not there,
mm-hmm.
and he's a good player. Yes, I they should fire me though. I should.
Doesn't math? Don't math and music actually complement each other, or always associate math and music together?
They seem to go together. Yes.
Yeah.
There seem to be many cases in which mathematicians are interested and sometimes very good at music.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's restricted to mathematicians.
No.
I guess one of the most notable one was Einstein. But basically, while a physicist, he was a mathematician.
Yeah.
We have a number, Jim Whittaker in the department is an excellent musician, pianist, singer. Lon Rosen is a very good cellist. So there are examples.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you involved with the professors emeritus group?
Yes.
Are you chairman? No, you're not chairman.
No, I'm not chairman. Lou Robinson is chairman.
Yeah. Do you meet often, or what do you do with that committee?
We do meet quite often.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the group, they have a meeting four times a year. It's developed into a meeting four times a year, which is a rather social affair, but they do have a speaker. The last one was Ron Jeffels. You know that?
Mm-hmm.
Very, gave various, very humorous recollections about academic life. And there is an executive group which meets roughly once a month, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I got asked to be on that.
Mm-hmm.
But Lou Robinson is the chair of it, a very good one. It was really, what's his name? Who was the fellow in education who died? Who started it? I can't think of it. Anyway, we have got an extended medical and dental plan for
mm-hmm.
retired people,
mm-hmm.
and it is administered by the university. We hope that someday we'll be able to persuade the university to pay the premiums like they do in Toronto,
uh-huh.
that they do for
really?
Their retired people. But I guess that's asking a bit much.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we do have a program which a committee looked at and came up with recommendations, and people could join the plan.
Mm-hmm.
And the university, as I say, the university, through the benefits section, does
mm-hmm.
administer this program. And I got involved on a committee which has to do with, the name is Flexible Retirement, but
mm-hmm.
we have two main things that we've discussed. In fact, we've presented a brief to the president about rehiring people after retirement, suggesting that the policy which is in existence should be changed. They're not going to do anything until they hear from the Supreme
no.
Court, of course.
No.
And the other is the general question of what happens to professors now? Mm-hmm. In the event the Supreme Court says that they don't have to retire, I mean, comes down mm-hmm. with a decision which essentially means that, then what do you, how do you carry on? Do professors just go on if they want to?
Mm-hmm.
Or are they reviewed every year?
Mm-hmm.
What about keeping jobs away from young people? It's interesting that the latest figure I've heard is that the average retirement age in the States is now 63. So people will take early retirement.
Mm-hmm.
There are some that go on.
Mm-hmm.
But that's one committee in which I happen to be active.
Yeah.
In fact, what's the time now? Do you have?
I broke my watch. I think we're probably going...
At 2 o'clock we have a meeting with the executive of the Faculty Association to discuss how we might be related to them.
Yeah.
Well, we tend to think about things which
yeah.
affect professors as they're coming up to retirement as well
yeah.
as being retired.
Yeah.
And that's really a prerogative of the Faculty Association.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So. Well, I think that's wonderful.